Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sponsoring this week on Staying Relevant is Hinge. I am very, very excited about this one, Samuel.
Oh, Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. It is very up your street, to be fair.
There is an opportunity for you to be involved, though, Sam.
Any excuse to meddle in your love life. I love it.
With voice prompt, my best friends take on why you should date me. You can actually lean on your friends to hype you up to potential matches. Try not to get too excited, Sam.
I would be the best hype man for you. You know I would. I'd talk about your smell and then move on to how you always take care of anyone in your group on a night out and also how you bring little snacks in your briefcase. They're very endearing qualities.
Wow. Just wow, Sam. As we found out there, it's not easy to see your own green flags, especially if you're humble and self-deprecating like me. Add that to your list, Samuel. But it is easy for your friends to do so on your behalf.
Now, I'm glad you like my suggestion, Peter, and download the dating app Hinge and try its voice prompts today.
Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast hosted by Sam Thompson, King of the Jungle, and his hairy little friend, me, Pete Wicks. I will be drinking and I will be swearing. If you don't like that, go f*** yourself. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, all that crap, at Staying Relevant Podcast, rate, review and all that stuff. You've been waiting patiently since Monday, so let's jump straight into part two with the boys. Trust me, it's going to be a good one.
The best Tony Bellew story has to be
the foot
in the food, surely.
Right, actually, because I want to hear this, because everyone, when they came out and they did their interviews and all that sort of stuff, and everyone said that their favourite moment or the funniest moment was the foot in the food thing. But I still don't know the actual story. I don't think anyone knows the proper
story. Basically,
so bearing in mind, you know what it's like. Like, everyone watching, I promise you, this is legit. The jungle, they don't give you any other food. Like, you get what you're given. So you get rations of tiny little rice and beans, right? So you are starving. And so the main meal, if you get loads of stars, the main meal's like the big meal. Yeah, where everyone comes together. It's a really nice moment. Everyone cooks together and stuff like that. It was a banging meal. I can't actually remember what the meal was.
Was you head chef that night?
No, it wasn't me.
Second.
It was Josie.
They made this amazing meal. I can't remember exactly what
it was.
It was
so banging.
But obviously, when you cook on the fire, when you wanna, you know, when you're done, you have to put the frying pan on the floor. There's nowhere else for it to go, right? And the food looks amazing. We're starving. We're looking at it all like this. Just can't wait for our little Billy, cans ready to go. And Big T's there.
Sorry. No one's eating for
You know what I mean?
It feels like that.
You know what I mean? I'm just adding to the story.
Big T's there and he's moving around and everyone's really happy. We've made an amazing meal. Tony's there with his boots on. Bearing in mind, that day we'd done a challenge where we'd all trod on mealworms and cockroaches and all that. It's all in the boot. You know what I mean? These are jungle boots,
right? Wait, Rob, before you say that though, don't forget that we had just had a change of the guard. Me and you were off deputy captain duty, and just to fuck shit up, they had made Tony chef. Now, Tony, I don't know if you saw this,
sous chef.
But Tony had said prior to that, don't make me chef. I don't want to cook. I've never cooked in my life. And so they go, Tony chef.
Tony was sweating.
So he's fucking pissed, man. Like, Tony's actually angry at this point.
He's not happy.
He's sulky, Tony. You sulked all night
that
night.
I can cook because I cook at home. But I didn't want the responsibility of cooking for a group, and no one wanted to follow Fred.
Yeah.
Because imagine you fuck everyone's dinner up, you are just not going to go
but
down.
But you were so annoyed all night, and then the piece de resistance is what happened, Marvin.
And it was your fault.
So was Tony's there, the food's ready to dish out, and we're ready for it, all excited, just staring at the food as you do. And Tony's doing some stuff around the frying pan on the floor that's full
pissed
of this
off.
Is the meal. And he's pissed anyway. And then he slips and he literally, the size
12
boot goes in the frying pan, covers the entire meal, and then he sort of does a little dance in it as well.
he really gets it in.
Takes his foot out. He's obviously even more. I thought he was going to knock someone out. He was fuming.
So angry at himself.
And then we all look at it and no one says anything. We all look at it. We can see that there is boot debris on our food. And we all look at each other like, all right, should we plate up? Yeah. Literally. Go over to it.
It was Marvin. Don't even try and say we all look at each other. Marvin fucking looks down and goes, right, so I'm going to be first. It goes straight
in. We can never, ever again in our lives, if you're in a restaurant or whatever and the fork goes on the floor, we can never.
No, never,
you know what I mean? Because we ate the food and it tasted amazing.
And do you know what? There was another moment.
Just had a bit of seasoning, boot seasoning.
Had a bit of seasoning. We didn't care.
He'd squeezed it round, right? And then I know Tony, he was so fucked off with what he'd done because he felt like he'd let everyone down again. He was already.
Because he thought we weren't going
to
eat it.
And so he tried to, he literally booted it, turned around and air kick to the fucking thing out of frustration. He was going to volley the entire pan.
Kick the whole, and then I realised that's their tea.
Yeah. And I was the only one out for it.
I didn't eat
it. Mate, I had seconds.
Why is it? Was it my fault? Did I do
it? No, because you, to make me chef, he just said we need to create carnage.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just adamant on wanting to create a big fucking problem. I was like, why do you want to do that, Sam? Everything's going nice. Just keep it calm. No one needs problems. No one needs headaches. And he's like, if we put you chef, it'll be carnage.
Mate, if he, remember, because he was obviously in charge, but I was there just to oversee Sam's decisions.
Yes.
If he'd have had his own way,
Oh, my word.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been great TV, but yeah. I'm like, Sam, I don't care about the TV, mate. We just need to eat. So let's just keep it nice. And, you know what I mean?
You've all seen it. Everyone listening has seen it. Everyone watched has seen it. But what you haven't seen, and they didn't show me putting my foot in the food. No, they did.
They didn't show it up enough.
No, because everyone came out and everyone's talking about this foot in the food incident, and everyone that obviously has seen you do it, but they didn't make a big deal.
It was so funny.
It wasn't that funny. We were like, what the fuck was funny about
so
that?
It was,
because he was so angry prior to it and then tried to boot the pan afterwards, but was then didn't want no one to eat, so like just sort of like air kicked and then sort of like got annoyed
himself. I've been used to starving with the career I've had. I've been used to making weight and doing things like that. But when it was like with the lads were okay, but when it comes to like a little Danny, there was nothing of it, and I just felt
tiny,
so bad
man.
For it.
Yeah.
And then you start your foot in a food, pretty rude, to be honest with you.
Fuck off.
Mate, we still ate it and it tasted amazing.
So one other thing to touch on then is the reunions. The reunions, so obviously it was you three and Nigel.
And Josie, yeah.
So Josie and Mia, that was nice. The reunions between you and Rachel, you and Michelle, and Dipstick.
Yeah.
Have you seen them?
Yes.
No. I've seen... No, I've not watched the entirety of it, no.
I've seen
my fucking whinging face, which I was furious.
He come back, all of us are buzzing, fuming. I said, Tony, what's wrong? He said, Marv, I wish I never would have done that. Because you've said before, when you did SAS, you didn't want to get the
when I done SAS, see...
You slammed the laptop.
Yeah,
you know?
So I'm quite an audible person. And
no, you're not, you're loved.
No, I know that, but that not me persona. When I'm out there, that's not me. She sees me and my kids see me, but that's for me, that's for them to see, not the rest of the world. So mine and her relationship is for me and her.
Mm.
And
like ours.
I didn't sign up for that. So I was fucking furious. So when I seen her, it was shock at first, and then it upset me because I thought, she's in the fucking jungle. And I know what it must have, for her to be in that jungle, for her to go on camera, it must have been an awful lot, because I know for a fact if you guys wouldn't have come and your missus would have come, she wouldn't have even entertained it. But the reason she went in is because she thought, if I don't go in and they see theirs, it looks terrible.
So the build up to the day of that was fucking hilarious.
Go on. Give us some behind the scenes, Peter.
So we didn't know until the night before that they were going to do that the next day. So they said it was about 8 o'clock. Everyone got a phone call. Listen, you're going to go in tomorrow and see him.
Nice.
I said, do I have to? Because I was like, well, like, why? Like, I just didn't. I thought, because I didn't. They called us all separately, individually. So I thought someone else should see their partner. Because I thought, I don't need to see him. He's fine.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no. Do you know what I mean? Like it's different. People had their wives and shit there. I'm just fucking. I just hang about with you now and then. So they told us the night before. Then the next day they said to us, we're going to go to camp as normal. So we're up at fucking 4 a.m.
Tell them what happened the night before first.
Well, see, she's had it. It's fucking terrible, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
See, this is the thing as well. Party Pete prior to any of us knowing any of this, or even, you know, coming out.
He didn't even know what Pete looked like at this stage.
He was out with our wives every night on the tequila. Every night he's chucking tequila down our wives' necks.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's all over the press as well. Pete's basically dated every single one of their wives.
My wife had a hangover. She had a hangover. She felt rough as anything. And I knew something was up with her. So when I first seen her, I was like, what the fuck's up with you? And I was thinking, I was going, something's wrong. What is wrong? You better tell, what is going on? And I was thinking, has someone done something to her? Has something happened to me house outside?
Yeah.
So many things. And I was going, Rach, I know something's up. Please tell me what is wrong. And literally 10 seconds before she finally went, she went,
it was Pete.
I've just got a little bit of a hangover. I'm fucking, for the last 25 minutes, I've been sitting here thinking something really bad's wrong. You've got a fucking hangover. So tell me nothing about Pete, by the way.
Basically, the family and friends called it getting wixed.
Yes.
That became what it was known as. And what had happened is they called us about 8 o'clock and didn't tell us we were going to be doing that. So what we used to do, because we were up, some of us went out every night, but for everyone else, what we do is we'd come back after being at the camp at about midday, and then we'd have a few drinks by the pool in the afternoon. But this day, everyone had quite a few drinks. So by 8 o'clock, everyone's quite pissed. So then when we get the phone call about going in tomorrow, at this point, everyone's then quite excited about going to see, you know, their partners and whatever else. So we had a few more drinks. Then we go and they tell us, listen, you're going to go and do the camp thing that is normal and you're going to be there for a couple of hours doing that and that fucking sweating tent. Terrible for us it was. but then you're going to go and see your partners or whatever else. What they didn't, and they sent everyone, all the rest of the family and friends, like the kids and everyone home, back to the camp, apart from Rachel, Michelle, me, Nigel Farage's daughter and Mia. We sat in that tent for about 8 hours.
Yeah, it was long.
Because it took so long, because they had to do it individually, they had to get all of you away in certain things, and there was a task going on.
We did. What trial did we do before this?
We thought there was a task. There was no task.
No, there was a task that happened before with Farage. Farage and you, maybe.
Yeah, it was me and Farage doing the Christmas thing.
Yeah,
because we did singing all the Christmas.
And you were drinking all that
and
stuff.
That's what took long, because that took, even when we went to that trial, it took an hour for us to start it, and it took a while. So
we were just waiting around in this fucking, it was getting,
I can imagine you getting so sweat. Annoyed.
Yeah, so Rochelle had spilt coffee down her cream trousers, so they'd sent them off to be cleaned, and she was wearing one of the Rangers fucking combat things, doing colouring in on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was having a lovely time, like she was at preschool. then Rachel's hair was all over the fucking shop, so she's trying to flatten all her hair down, and I can't go in like this. I can't go in like this. Anyway, so we're all sat there just talking about it. That day, I'd taken a water bottle with vodka.
Oh my God.
That was every day, Pete. Don't just say that day.
Tony,
we've heard
Tony,
about the party bus in the morning.
Oh,
that was every day.
So I was having a couple of drinks, so I was fine. But we're all talking about it, and I remember Rachel saying, he's not going to want to see me. And I went, well, of course he is. And she went, no. He won't want to see me. No. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She was like, he'll lose his head if he sees me. And I went, what do you mean? Surely he's going to want to see you. And she went, no, because he puts things in boxes.
Yeah.
He said, so he's there to do a fucking job, so he won't want to see me till the end. And I was like, no, you'll be fine. Have a vodka. so we all had a little
sense now.
And then Rochelle was really excited about seeing you. But obviously, we didn't know that you'd done a trial, because they didn't tell us that you were doing a trial.
Yeah.
So when we came back, Rachel, we watched the screens and we could see you. So we could see everyone come back in. So we could see how happy you were when you came back in. See you bouncing around telling everyone smell Pete or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we see you all back into camp and everyone's like, oh, Tony, and you just go, yep. And you go up to the toilet and you just have a fucking minute to yourself. Yeah. And I went, fucking hell, Rach, he's fucking gutted. I said, what'd you do to him? And she went, no, like he gets really upset and he don't like it. And Rachel, when she came back, she was really upset because she was like, I feel like I shouldn't have gone because she didn't want to fucking ruin it for you. But it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen was you two.
So they showed that you see me.
Yeah, they showed you take a time out in the...
Yeah, okay. They don't, because you're in the toilet, so you can't see, you can just hear you in there,
deep
breathing and having a minute where everyone else was talking about it and you just went a bit quieter.
I could see that he was
beautiful. Yeah.
But then the next morning, obviously we always checking on each other and I was like, you're right. And you said to me, I'm actually pleased I've done it.
Yeah, you changed your tune at the end.
Yeah. It was a really beautiful moment to watch. And your one with Rochelle, man, fucking hell.
Mate, I pulled a face I've never seen myself pull
before.
Mate,
this is what, so when honestly, Rochelle came back, she went, he did this weird face. Because like, I mean, what was it like when he saw him?
She went, she thought it was weird. Yeah,
and she went, he just went like that. But she went, he wouldn't close his mouth. But the best part of it is she came back and she went, oh, do you know what I did though? And she went, I just fully kissed him.
Yeah. Do you know why?
And because you've just been eating just that shit.
The fisheye thing where I squashed bloody 30 fisheyes in my mouth and drank the juice. And obviously then I've come back to camp. So naturally, I mean, listen, we don't smell the best anyway. We actually smell like fire because we all dry our clothes on the fire. But obviously my beard would have stunk of fish. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why when I first see her, apart from having the shock of my life, I'm telling you now, I've never been more shocked. It was like I saw a ghost, like unbelievable. Yeah. Like to see her and also the fact that she was in the red chair in the middle of camp, it was just unbelievable. And just every emotion goes through you. Mm. And then, yeah, obviously, massive hug, and then I'm like, I'm sorry, I stink. I could smell the fish myself. Well, you know what I mean?
So she said that when she came back, and she was like, and he really smelled a fish. And then obviously the next day, we watched the trial, and I was sat next to her, and she went, oh, I kissed that. You were just like eating like fish shit and that. And she was like, yeah, she literally went, she went, I've got to brush my teeth twice.
Do you know what I love though? Is the Pete Wicks explanation of the behind the scenes. No one's seen, not the listener, not us or anyone like that. Yeah. So you called yourself the Wags, didn't you? And what I find absolutely brilliant is, and I would like you to elaborate on this a little bit, Pete and Tony, to be honest with you, you're now Uncle Pete. What does that mean?
Well, look, there was a group of us that spent quite a lot of time together. So there's like, Danielle's mum, dad and friend, and then like Rachel and Rochelle when she came. And like, we were all kind of, and Nick's girlfriend, Sarah, like a lot of us were all kind of together.
Who you were linked to in the press at one point.
I was linked to fucking everyone for fucking number of reasons. But they just can't have everyone else that's there. Anyway, so we spent quite a lot of time together. And what was the question?
The question is, why are you called Uncle Pete?
Oh, yeah. So obviously playing in the pool and that when we get back, because Rachel had the kids and that, so we were all kind of together because we didn't want like Rachel just to be like left out with the boys. And fucking Corey's so good as well, like honestly,
Corey,
mate,
being one of
your
kids,
kids are the best, man.
Your kids are unbelievable.
Tell them about the whistle.
So we were all no, because it's fucking terrible because me and you fucking looked up in the show. But yeah, so we were all kind of together, so we're all kind of messing about in the pool and like fucking throwing balls.
Are you in the pool with Tony kids?
Yeah, we're doing all this like throwing balls and everyone's having a thing, and then
you're so wholesome.
And then I think Corey started and he was like, oh, it's like Uncle Pete. And I was like, oh, fuck me, that's a name that's going to stick, isn't it?
I like it. At the start, Pete didn't want to be there at all.
No, I couldn't think of anything worse. And then suddenly I was right involved in everything. But yeah, so we all kind of took it in turns to go and do it. I was going to go jet skiing and do some other bits, but we couldn't get time to do it. And yeah, there was just loads of things. But it was just a really nice, all the friends and family as well, like all of us got on really, really well. And it was quite nice because all the people that were getting on really well in there, like all of yous, all the friends and family were getting on really well on the outside.
Yeah, weirdly.
Do you know what I mean? Like all the tight groups in there were the tight groups outside as well.
To be fair, Pete was, obviously I wasn't there for most of it, Pete was the glue for the family. You know what I mean? Like he was the centre of it and everyone just gravitated to Pete, you know? And he definitely spent a lot of money in the bars as well. So
Tony, do your kids love him?
My boys love him. Like our Colby asked me yesterday, Dad, when can we see Pete again?
No!
There was Uncle one Pete. Really, really worrying moment though with your youngest. Have you heard about this one?
Which one? Do you lose
with
him?
With a baby. No.
You lose him.
So we're just in the pool and we're all messing about and then your youngest comes up and he's just poked me and he's gone, Dad. And I went, no. It's because he'd just been with Rachel. And I was going, and Rachel was, she was crying. She was like, I've just been talking, he misses his dad. He's just been talking about his dad. So he's just come up to me and just gone down. And I went, no.
You've never seen someone get out of that pool.
You've never seen anyone get out of that pool so
quick.
Mate, if his dad looks a bit like you, lad, I'll take that all day.
So do you know what? So when we came out.
Rachel did tell me about that. She told me about it actually when we got together, and because that's just come back to me, she said Kobe's called Pete Dad, and I was like,
"What?" Not when she saw you in the jungle.
I was like, "Yeah, in the jungle."
What, before you'd even met me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. She'll be wearing prick.
So I thought to myself, "Dad would have fucking trilled me." That's what went through my head again.
Do you know what? If I'd known that, brilliant. I wish we'd got a little trilby. So when you finally see the baby, we had a little trilby on him.
Do you know what? So when we came out, we all got pretty far. So like we didn't really get to spend much time in Australia. We got like one day at the very end.
A reunion. What a lovely day that was.
Yeah, that was a great
day. So no one knows this either, but just the day before we left, we all had a really nice wholesome beach day. Yeah. Me, Pete, Rochelle, Marvin, Tony, wife, kids.
Yeah.
And we all went to the beach, all of us, and just had the most beautiful beach day ever. And I had running races on the beach and stuff like that. But what I found the most brilliant thing about the entire day was learning that Tony Bellew has a whistle for his kids. So Tony,
it works.
Tony's
well.
Boys, right, are 7 foot 10. They are the tallest things I've ever seen in my life, right? And you would look at them and you'd be like, oh, you could batter me. They are the most polite, sweetest, well-educated, well-mannered kids you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny thing is, he's got the shaggiest hair as well. Corey's got the shaggiest hair. And you're just like, they're like 7 foot tall. And you go, oh, you boys must be so unruly. Like, there's no way that you boys are kept in line, even by a big tone standard. Bro, I've never seen anything like it. Thank you. Run to the sea. Tony does this whistle, right? What's the whistle? So he does that whistle to him, right? They stop dead as they're running to the sea. They stop dead. 7 foot tall of them, four of them, stop dead as they're about running. Turn back like dogs and go, yeah, da, what do you need? And he just goes, oi, keep in between those things. Go out there. The tide will get you. They go, all right, Dad. And then he like releases them. And then he like, go again. And I've never seen anything brilliant. Like it in it's my brilliant. Life.
Well, if you think that's bad, when Tony told us about this whistle, because he was like, what's that? Me and Marv went and got some towels at one point in the shot. And then Tony then tried to come and find us. So Tony started whistling in the fucking shop. Like, honestly, I felt like Babe the Sheep because I heard it and I started, me and him were fucking running around. That's Tony. Tony's
yeah, we froze.
Tony's there. So now we all answer to the fucking whistle.
That's it. It was brilliant though,
it's just
Tony.
The whistle that I've done with my kids since they were born, because if I've got that one, I've got too many kids, basically. And when you've got boys, they're not like girls. Girls just stay close to you. They're beautiful. They're lovely. They just, like, I haven't got a girl, so that's what I assume that they're like. And because I've got boys, they just go in places like shops and you just run off and you're just like, what are you doing? Or just do that whistle, bump the back. And he
love that.
Like, he's my eldest 18 and he still pays attention.
Marv's got kids, but he literally in the shop goes, oh shit, Tony. It's like everyone becomes Tony's kids when he does those whistle. It's like, what's going on here? But I just found that one of the most wholesome, brilliant things that I've ever seen. That day in itself.
Well, that day itself is one of the best days I've had in a decade.
Mate, it was.
Yeah. Did we fly home that night?
We flew home that night.
And then we all flew back that night. It was a shame, actually, because it was obviously, you know, myself, Rachel, the kids, and Rochelle weren't in the jungle. So we were sort of on holiday. But because we still had to do stuff, it never really felt like we were actually really on holiday. And obviously, for you guys, you've been through fucking shit. It was the first day, I think, where everyone actually just felt quite relaxed.
Yeah.
Because although we were flying home that night, it was just like, should we just go to the beach and fuck? And it was really, really beautiful. Listen, we are basically out of time.
Out of time, but just really quickly, boys, just after we've done all this,
who do we want to win the jungle?
No. After
we've done, I was going to do.
After we've done all of this, right? Like, I want to know. Well, we want to know what you boys are saying. What are you up to? What you're doing? And you know, this is obviously. I know. Put it this way: you've come down here for the goodness of your heart, but I also know we've got to plug what you boys are
don't
doing.
Don't be so. Stupid. We're just here to see each other,
I'm here
mate.
To see us.
Come on.
I've got a question for you, actually. Just before we go, Sam's condom.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Tony, have you not heard about this?
I was there, mate. I witnessed what he was
doing. They were going extra small.
But, Tony, it's really happening, apparently.
No, it's not.
What is... And his colour? Has he got a colour?
Oh, pink.
No, I've got yellow.
Well,
purple.
No, the original idea was pink, but obviously we know that purple was your...
It's girl sitting right there.
Yeah, but it's all about the safety, Tony.
Oh, they've...
I've obviously paid no attention, mate. I've got four kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it doesn't matter for you.
Oh, my God.
We're currently having conversations, so
can we just have the conversation out the room later?
There will be some point, fingers crossed, a purple edition of the JLS condoms in extra small.
Flying the extra small flag, baby.
Well, Mr. Sam Thompson. Yeah, there you go.
There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. First of all, I don't know if you've seen, but I've done a few this morning segments, right?
Yes.
Really hard.
Golden Chihuahua.
the golden retriever.
Chihuahua.
But Chihuahua was even better.
Oh, that's natural.
That's better.
That's natural. When so much better. Big retriever, you're bigging yourself up a bit too much. To be honest,
let's start with Chihuahua.
The golden Chihuahua.
You know what I mean?
Wow, wow.
It's so fucking hard doing this small. It's so hard. But I do these roving reporting things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And all people ever say is, everybody in love. I have done it. I'm not joking. We've had a concert out in Shoreham by Sea.
Yeah.
Where put your hands up. It was amazing, mate. And I think I sent you that thing.
Yeah, you did.
The impact of all of that stuff, which was just so fun in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing people outside do that kind of stuff was so awesome.
Can we find another Jailer song now? Can we maybe?
Well, you know, One Shot's now my new favourite as well.
No, Eyes Wide Shut, isn't it?
No, One Shot.
One Shot, okay.
It was Eyes Wide Shut, which I put on my gram.
You could just tie that in with the launch of the condoms. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah!
You know what I'm saying?
You get one shot,
that can be
so make it count. To be honest,
I still don't think
he
gets the words right, so it's always like a medley, because it's all of the words together, just on some sort of melody.
But I feel like Pete probably needs to show you something that is, you know, very ingrained in Staying Relevant podcast history now. It is my front cover.
What? Where's that come from?
Because I thought you were going to want to take the piss out of it.
Oh, we've run out. You just randomly tried to throw in the front cover.
Mate, congratulations, mate. That's amazing, by the way. He's well just done, son.
Mate.
That's beautiful.
Whilst Tony and Marv read Sam's fabulous Wild Thing front cover, which he purposely gave them to read, just randomly out of nowhere, we are done. And honestly, guys, thank you so much for coming in. This is.
But I'm very proud of that, though.
No one cares. Not one person here cares. All right. Not
thank
one
you for
person.
Having. Thank yeah, you for thank having you guys. Us. And once again, that day that we spent together was absolutely amazing. That one day, even though I thought we'd be gone, I'd be gone in a week and I'd get 2 weeks holiday, I didn't. But that one day made up for the 2 weeks that I stayed.
Best thing I have ever done in my life was that show, and purely because of the people I met.
I think the day was better than the show. If I'm not, that one day,
no, the show was also brilliant.
But the show was fantastic, and we've obviously gained friends and brothers for life. But yeah, that one day sticks with me more than actually some of large parts of the show. I loved the challenges we did. I loved getting to know people, getting to know yous. It was amazing. So yeah, thank you very much.
I think I said to you on VoiceNet the other day, I think, like, you know, we were part of an amazing experience. And obviously the 12 of us, will, you know, only know that feeling. But if I hear your voice on a VoiceNet, I speak to Tony, it just takes me back to a nice place. You know what I mean?
I do like
and a
VoiceNet voice.
And that's why Big T will never go back in. But that's where, like, for me, I'm like, I don't know, it's mad. It's nice to just...
And
yeah, he's left
if,
it there.
If something's good, mate, don't go back. And don't make it worse. And I think it's not broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah.
Come out in one piece. Don't fuck true. It up.
For the audience and the people that have watched, I think you three made that show last year. Genuinely, the friendship you all had, I think, was a really beautiful thing, and I think everyone loved seeing that. So thanks, it wouldn't mate. Have been anywhere near the same show.
And what are we going to do next? We're all going to go to a boxing fight.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. They're going to go because we are running. We've been running out of time for 20 minutes.
Tomorrow?
But you will not shut up.
What are you going to a boxing fight tomorrow? Where are you going
to at the Indigo?
Yeah.
You're welcome to come if you want.
Fuck, where is it?
O2. Don't worry, mate. It's okay. It takes a while to process.
It does, doesn't it?
And then he spouts it out.
You just have to... I just keep on at him.
He's on it.
And in fact, is it your weekend with him?
Fuck off.
I've got work this weekend, so I'm going to have to pass him over, and the next weekend's mine.
All right, well, you'd have to do double weekends
but
then.
Well, you'd have to get him down on the train first.
Fuck you.
All right, let's see what I can do.
Hand him over.
Guys, thanks for listening.
I love you both.
Love you too, mate.
So much. Love
sorry,
you,
love.
Thank you, mate. Sorry, Pete. I'm sorry. He likes a structure.
I know you don't want them to leave.
I know.
But at some point,
I'm leaving with
him. We have to stop. So thank you for listening to Staying Relevant with me, Pete Wicks, and Sam Thompson. The amazing
Hello.
Marvin and Teddy T, Tony Bellew.
Cheers, guys.
Make sure you subscribe, follow, and do all that shit. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Snappy C, and YouTube. We come out every Monday with a main episode, which you can watch every Friday. Every Thursday is the bonus episode you can watch every Sunday. Rate, review, and do all that crap. Ta-da.
I've had the best day of my life.
Follow, subscribe, and like.
There we go.
Yeah! Go on, Big T.
Come on, Big
Monday,
T.
Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Yeah! Right. Come on.
So how many days?
That's
how many
days.
Really?
Jesus.
I love that.
Right, job done.
Insanity Group. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.